This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the hour, welcome back to the show. This is The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And Mark, this story today, I know you tweeted it out moments ago. Arizona, well, finally happening. Arizona Wildcats fire coach Sean Miller, as we all know about this story that's just it's like a snowball. It just continues to get more and more as it goes. But I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this situation and beyond, really.
Well, I'm not surprised that it ultimately happened, Brady. I'm kind of surprised how long it took, to be honest with you, and how selective it is. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're sitting here today looking at the firing of Sean Miller, but at Kansas just last week, a lifetime contract was given to Bill Self. And Kansas was in the middle of this deal as well. And so it's interesting how things have kind of unfolded and how selective it can be. I always harken back to the great line by Jerry Tarkanian years ago when he was, you know, in his nonstop battle with the NCAA, where he one time said, "When Kentucky cheats, Western Kentucky gets put on probation." And I think there's reasons why we all struggle with the NCAA, but what we're seeing here today and kind of the contradiction of what happened last week compared to what happened this week makes you scratch your head a little bit.
Yeah, no question about it. I know you tweeted out, too, the axe, so to speak, is starting to fall. I mean, this is something we thought would happen at some point, Mark, but, man, this story really was just absolutely crazy. But what was it, back in 2017, this entire thing about bribery and all this stuff? I mean, we've been hearing this about other schools, too. And, Mark, I fear that these are just the ones we know about. I can't imagine how many of these stories we don't know about.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, what's interesting is within the kind of the circles of college basketball or college football, when I have conversations, you know, off-the-record conversations with coaches, they'll actually joke about who they know is cheating. And I've been told, I had a coach tell me one time years ago, now I want you to think about this for a second. I had a coach tell me years ago, now this is 15, 20 years ago, okay, so a long time ago, that when he was a young coach coming up, he was involved in a meeting at one of the coaches' conventions. And while the coaches were discussing everything, a couple of the older, let's shall we say, more prominent longtime coaches kind of scolded the young fellas about how they were skirting the lines, if you will, within college athletics. And as he described it to me, he said it was a little bit like, you know, when the old school mafia kind of looked at the street gangs and said, "Hey, you don't understand how we do this, okay? I'm not upset that you're breaking the law. I'm upset how you're doing it. You're not doing it with class and respect like we do." And it was that kind of mindset where it was talked about. So, you know, there's a lot of this going on. We've always understood that. There are programs that flat out cheat. There are programs that flat out do not cheat. We know that in college athletics. And it's interesting to me that, you know, I talked about the contrast between Bill Self getting a lifetime contract last week, Sean Miller getting fired, and we just celebrated, of course, USC, which was in the middle of this thing as well, making a run in the NCAA tournament just a couple of weeks ago as well. And you know, and you could hear the national folks on television praising Andy Enfield and doing it the right way, and on and on and on. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so it's just interesting how selective we are about this stuff. And, you know, it just apparently was The shadow was on Sean Miller today and the last couple of months here, and so he ends up getting the axe, where these other guys, nobody's going to touch him at this point, apparently.
Man, it's just such a crazy story, too. This one specifically, but again, this has been a lot of strange things. I mean, I go back to Louisville's situation, too, a few years ago.
That
a little bit different of a situation, but still, we're trying to entice players to play for our program, whatever that looks like. And in this case, it's, hey, we'll pay you if you choose this school, if you choose this agency, once you go to the NBA. I mean, so many, Mark, so many convoluted plans to this, man. I mean, the other thing I think about, too, with the transfer portal, I was going back and forth with you today.
Right.
Are we going to see more of this just in kind of a different capacity?
Well, I think the one thing, and I'm not sure if I've said this in your show or not, one of the reasons we're seeing so much activity in a transfer portal right now is the COVID-19 deal, okay? And the fact that, you didn't lose a year of eligibility. And so coaches are sorting out their rosters, trying to figure out what it's going to look like. You have a balance between, am I going to bring back potentially a sixth-year senior if you had a redshirt season early on, where I've got a young recruit that's coming in who might be equally as good from a talent standpoint, just not have the experience. So I want to make sure the young guy gets the experience. So I'm going to allow, the senior to take off and go find some other place to play. And so I think we're seeing an exacerbated transfer portal this year as a result of that. So I just caution people, don't base your opinion totally right now on what the transfer portal is based on what we're seeing right now, because I think right now it's on steroids. Now, 2 years from now, we're sitting here where things have settled down, we hope, from a COVID standpoint, everything's getting back to somewhat some sense of normalcy. Then I think this thing will still be active to some degree. It's just not going to be what we're seeing, because you wouldn't have, for example, let's take the University of Colorado right now. You wouldn't have Jeriah Horn, Dallas Walton, Deshaun Schwartz out there having the opportunity to transfer because their careers would be over. And so that's why you're seeing so much activity right now in the transfer portal. So it's an interesting, probably a future of college basketball. We're not clear on exactly what it's going to look like, but I don't think it's going to be nearly the Wild West that it is right now, a year or two from now.
Do you think, and maybe they have this, Mark, some kind of a, because it used to be, even when we started transferring, right, there was, you still had to kind of prove or give a legitimate reason. It can't just be because you're mad at coach or whatever. You have to give some real reason. Now it's pretty much, anytime you want. I can see benefits for the transfer portal, no question about it.
Yeah.
But I also think that I want to get away from, coach yelled at me and I don't like that. I got wind somewhere that another program might want me there instead, and that's another thing I worry about. That's what I want to be careful of. But right now, is there really any way to govern this, or is it just, hey, whenever you want to transfer, just transfer, jump in that portal?
Well, there's a couple of aspects of what you're talking about. Number one is it's become incredibly easy. And what I get nervous about, I've talked about this on other shows and taken some heat for saying this kind of thing, but here's what I get nervous about. It's the non-committal aspect of this, okay? And that's what I get a little bit, and what I mean by that is we've made it just, you can leave because the wind blew the wrong way that day. I mean, and I get nervous about that because if you've got something going on in your program, if there is a legitimate, you found out you got there and there's just personality conflict between you and coach, you can't work through, okay, I understand that. Things are going to happen, right? If there's some immoral, unethical things going on in your program, you think, I don't want to be part of this. If your coach is abusive, all these kind of things are legitimate reasons to jump. What I get nervous about is kind of the message, because we're already seeing a lot of these top-level high school kids that come in, they played at three or four high schools over the course of their career, and then they get to college and want to start jumping around. Well, my guess is there's a young man, since we're talking, men's basketball or college football, that hasn't learned a whole lot about commitment, what commitments mean. And so then I think to myself, well, the next step in life, I got married last year, but I don't like the fact that my wife, leaves the toothpaste tube off, or, whatever it is, I'm just going to jump ship and go find somebody else. That leads to a lot of bad habits in life, and that's what I get concerned about. And so, that's number one. You were talking about tampering. Remember you're going to have to help me with the name. There was the big kid at South Dakota a couple of years ago that was one of the best scorers in the country, and they came in to play Colorado. Mike Dom, I think, was his name, yeah, as I recall, right? And I do know that he was being courted. There was a lot of contact being made from other schools because he was going to graduate after his third season and could have been a graduate transfer. And I'll tell you something. And I don't need to talk highly enough about Tad Boyle. Everyone agrees with me in Greeley, Colorado. I guarantee you that. But at the end of the ball game, Tad stopped during the handshake line and said to Mike Dom, he said, "Mike, congratulations on your career. Listen, if you plan on playing another year and not going to the NBA," he said, "I recommend you go back and play for South Dakota. Those fans deserve to see you for 4 years and not be cheated out of a final year." So he said, "I hope if you make that decision to come back, that's what you do." Instead of, like a lot of coaches were doing, "Hey, Mike, give me a holler. I could use you." And so, you know, there's too many of those guys that are willing to make a deal with the devil like that, that are trying to entice guys in some form or fashion out there. And that's a dangerous precedent to set in college athletics.
Well, and yeah, Mark, like you and I were going back, and I just wanted to be, you know, perfectly clear. With the new transfer portal rules, coaches still can't directly reach out to players of any kind. But you, what's to stop them from getting a third party, fourth party, fifth, whatever, to let this player be, you know, a certain stud player for a team that's maybe in a smaller conference, to let it be known, hey, this guy kind of likes you. Somebody told me that. He's interested in you. What's to stop him from doing that?
Yeah, there's nothing. And that does sound like a little bit like, you know, back in junior high school, doesn't it?
It does.
Hey, Brady, go tell Susie that I kind of think she's cute kind of thing, right? And there's a lot of that going on. And you know what's happened? Because I'm not sure the average fan out there understands this. The high school basketball coaches have been taken totally out of this equation. I don't know if people realize that or not. I talked to coaches. Tad and I have talked about this many times. I said, how much do you talk to high school coaches? He goes, oh, rarely. Rarely, if ever, do you talk to a high school coach anymore. It's always the AAU guys, okay? And those are the guys who are involved. And we well know, because of what we just talked about, Sean Miller and the thing that went down, the FBI and the stuff with the NCAA, who was in the middle of that issue? Shoe companies, okay? And so I don't think people really realize kind of what the driving force behind that level of basketball is right now. So to your point, a lot of times what can happen is, I'm a coach that my sneaker company for my school is X. And I've got a great relationship with the AAU coach, who is also sponsored, by the way, by Team X, by sneaker company X, I should say. And so what happens a lot of times is I look around the country and go, hey, you know, there's a pretty good player over that program. I talk to my guy with the AAU team and go, you know what, I kind of like him. Would you ever think about transferring? Well, you know, I'm not making contact with him, but the AAU coach, who still has contact with that kid because he was important in his life and helped guide him the first time he went to college, all of a sudden makes a phone call, checks up on, young man, Mr. Smith, and they have a conversation and go, hey, by the way, coach over at Program B kind of likes you if you're ever thinking about transferring if things aren't going real well. And so there's a lot of that going on. And Brady, here's another thing for you. Think about this for a second. There are plenty of coaches out there that have told me that when they start to identify a player on an AAU team, they'll take a look and see who the sneaker company is that sponsors them. And if it's not the same as my school, chances are I probably can't get that kid.
Wow.
I mean, think about this. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that I don't think the average fan thinks about a lot of times, that are behind the scenes of people like Tad Boyle and the guys that are trying to do it right are out there battling and trying to navigate, because it's, it's a dirty underbelly is what it is.
Yeah, and again, that side of it, too, just absolutely blows my mind. The other thing I would worry about is coaches. If a coach gets on to a player, if he yells at a player, and I'm not saying that, you know, every player in college nowadays, you know, kids these days can't take it. There's plenty of them that are, you know, way, way more mentally strong than I could ever imagine. But I do worry about that. I was told by a Division I coach, a former Division I coach, he was getting texts and calls from parents asking why he did this, why he did that. I mean, this is at the D1 level. And that's where I wonder, does it get to the point where it's like, I don't like being yelled at. I don't like being benched. I don't like running laps because I turned it over three times in a row. I'm leaving. That's what I really worry about, because a coach is constantly looking over your shoulder then.
Well, any high school coach or any coach that's listening that's done youth sports understands what it's like dealing with parents. Now, you'd like to think at the Power 5 college level, at as high as this is, since you're dealing with young men at this point in time, even though, you know, I call them kids because they're kids to me because I'm old, but they are young men, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, that maybe mom and dad wouldn't be involved in that. In fact, my son was a college football player, and I made it very clear to him. I said, hey, listen, you got a problem with your coach? That's none of my business, okay? You're going to be doing what you're supposed to be doing or not doing what you're not supposed to be doing, and make sure you're following guidelines with the team. Now, if it crosses over into abuse or immoral or unethical kind of conduct, that's a different deal. Then I'm here for you. But you're a grown man now. You're going to take care of yourself. You got to deal with this. By the time you get into the real world, you're dealing with a boss out there. He or she's going to be tough on you as well, and you're going to have to deal with that kind of stuff. I'm not here to bail you out and make life easy on you, but that's not always the case. And when you're, and this is what I get nervous about, you know, we see with especially the highly regarded guys, right? When they have the big, you know, presentations on where they're going, there's so much hoopla, and everyone's really important, and you become social media stars, and then you get to a college campus, you're a freshman, and nobody knows who you are, and you don't see the field of the court because, you know, I'm not nearly as big and strong as the guys who are juniors and seniors, and all of a sudden you kind of get unhappy, and then, you know, then all of a sudden you've got a roving eye, and you're looking elsewhere. Those are the things that I think, no lessons ever learned from that kind of stuff. Am I going to persevere? Am I going to, fight through and compete? I mean, look at Mac Jones. He was sitting behind two NFL quarterbacks at Alabama, and he persevered and ultimately ends up winning a national championship, and now will be a first-round NFL draft pick because he fought through and competed. And I think there are great lessons that are learned from that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a very it can become a very messy situation when you talk about this. I just hope that as we progress with this, the NCAA is really sitting down and saying, hey, how wild do we really want this to get? But as you said, who knows? It might slow down in the next few years. Mark, always appreciate your insight on this one. I mean, educating me. Like I said, I get confused very easily. It does not take much to take me there.
Welcome to the club. I've been confused for 53 years.
Mark, appreciate you as always, man. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, buddy. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes there. Love talking to him, man. So I'm texting him just to be sure today. I'm like, hey, so let me be clear here. Coaches cannot in any way directly go up to a player and say, hey, you were really good last year. If you're ever looking to make a change, let me know. No, they can't do that. If that ever gets found out, it's tampering. But there's nothing to stop a coach from letting someone else know. You know, hey, rumor has it that this coach really thinks you're a stud player. Like, thinks you're amazing. You know, if you were to find yourself in the transfer portal, who knows, man? Who knows? 12:51 the time. We're going to take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. I got a lot of stuff to get to today, and we haven't even scratched the surface. Nuggets postgame stuff. Rockies postgame stuff. Rockies, it was a 50-minute delay or whatever due to rain, and then we go 13 innings. So it was a late night. I stayed up and watched only to witness the Rockies lose this thing. But there, again, some positives you can take. But Diamondbacks are a pretty bad team. 12:51 the time. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
In the air. And that means high school baseball will decorate Preps Radio on 1310 KFKA.